Good evening. Welcome to Senate Finance. On this evening's agenda is SB 172, Fish Shellfish Hatchery Enhanced Projects. My name is Senator Anna McKinnon, co-chairman of Finance. With me this evening, co-chairman Kelly. Welcome.
Hello.
Vice Chairman Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop.
Good evening, ma'am.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good
evening. Senator Olson.
Good evening, Madam Chair.
And Senator Hoffman is away on other state business. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we begin the introduction and public hearing on SB 172? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill Number 172, Resources, 29-GS2653/N. An act relating to management of enhanced stocks of shellfish, authorizing certain nonprofit organizations to engage in shellfish stock rehabilitation efforts, carry out shellfish enhancement projects, and operate shellfish hatcheries, relating to applications, fees for salmon hatchery permits, and providing for an effective date. If I can invite Kevin Brooks, and if you'd like Forrest Bowers to accompany you. Mr. Brooks, if you could identify yourself for the record, and if we change between speakers, if you would make sure to identify yourself. And please present SB 172.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Kevin Brooks, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Fish and Game. With me today is Forrest Bowers, our Deputy Director for the Division of Commercial Fisheries. We appreciate the opportunity tonight to talk to you about SB 172. This is a bill that was inspired by stakeholder interest. It has a lot of support from the industry. The purpose of the legislation is to allow the Department of Fish and Game to permit shellfish enhancement and rehabilitation projects and the construction and operation of the shellfish hatcheries by nonprofit corporations for the purpose of enhancing and rehabilitating the shellfish fisheries. Excuse me. This will benefit the state's economy by providing a method to increase available harvest of shellfish for public use, from all public uses. Madam Chair, we have today a sectional to walk through for the committee. We wanted to talk to you about changes that were made in the Senate Resources Committee. There were some good improvements made to the bill that came from some industry folks and others. And I thought I would have Deputy Director Bowers walk you through that in a summary of changes. We have a much more detailed list of changes. A lot of those were conforming amendments, and we're happy to go through whatever detail the committee would like, but I think the summary will give you a good idea of what's happened to the bill up to the state.
Mr. Brooks, a sectional analysis is fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. This sectional analysis relates to Senate Resources Version N of the bill. Section 1 provides the Alaska Board of Fisheries authority to develop management plans that relate to cost recovery on enhanced shellfish stocks. Section 2 is the only part of the bill that doesn't relate directly to shellfish enhancement or rehabilitation. Section 2 increases the permit application fee for new private nonprofit salmon hatcheries from $100 to $1,000. It's just an update to that existing fee that's about 40 years old. Section 3 is really the meat of the bill. It deals with the permitting requirements and the permitting process. And it provides direction to the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game on issuance of permits for private nonprofit shellfish stock rehabilitation and fishery enhancement projects and associated shellfish hatcheries, and establishes a $1,000 permit application fee for new enhancement projects or rehabilitation projects. This section also directs the Commissioner to consult with technical experts in the relevant areas on scientific issues before issuing a permit. This section provides for a hearing prior to issuance of a permit and describes certain permit terms, including cost recovery, fisheries, harvest, sale and release of naturally produced shellfish, and selection of broodstock sources. This section describes reporting requirements and terms for modification or revocation of a permit. Section 4 provides the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission authority to issue special harvest area entry permits to holders of private nonprofit shellfish rehabilitation enhancement or hatchery permits. Those are permits that are used for cost recovery harvest in the special harvest areas. Section 5 defines legal fishing gear for special harvest area entry permit holders, and that again relates to the cost recovery fishing that would go on in special harvest areas. Section 6 exempts shellfish raised in a private nonprofit shellfish hatchery from the farm fish definition. Section 7 and 8 establish tax exemption for a nonprofit corporation holding a shellfish hatchery rehabilitation or enhancement permit. Section 9 is also tax related. It exempts shellfish harvested under a special harvest area permit from the fishery business tax or the fishery resource landing tax. Section 10 establishes an effective date for the new fee for salmon hatchery permits described in Section 2. Section 11 authorizes the Department of Fish and Game to adopt implementing regulations that would flow from this bill if it becomes law. Section 12 established as an immediate effective date for Section 11 pursuant to AS 01-10.070. And Section 13 establishes an immediate effective date for Section 9 concomitant with the Section 2 effective date. Madam Chair, I'd just like to add that this bill is largely structured around the current statutes related to the private nonprofit salmon hatchery program. We tried to find as many commonalities as we could there and pull those in for simplicity. Madam Chair.
Are there questions from committee members to Mr. Bauer? Senator Dunleavy.
You kind of, through the chair, you did answer. It's an initial look. You would think it's solely a shellfish bill, but in fact it has some hatchery permits in here for salmon, et cetera.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, there, Section 2 is the only part of the bill that relates to salmon, and it simply changes the fee for new private nonprofit salmon hatchery applications. Raises it from $100 to $1,000. That $100 fee has been in place since the early 70s, and so this is just an update to that fee. So
Section 10 relates to that, but what does Section 5 relate to?
Section, through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, Section 5 relates to the fishing gear that's used for cost recovery harvest in special harvest areas for the shellfish enhancement or rehabilitation projects.
Mr. Bauer, if I could, it doesn't change any of the gear for salmon fisheries. It adds shellfish to that. Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, that's correct. Section 5 doesn't relate to the salmon program at all.
Senator Dunleavy.
Can you, just through the chair, can you give an example of legal fishing gear for this particular, as it pertains to Section 5 then? Just give me an example.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, crab pots, king crab pots.
Okay, thanks.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, sir. I might not be accurate here, but I'm asked a question. Was the immunity from liability related to donations of shellfish to a food bank, was that removed and is not in the CS?
Through the chair and Senator Bishop, Kevin Brooks, Deputy Commissioner. Yes, there was some concern at the last committee because it's based on a visual inspection and you can't really tell by looking at shellfish if it's might be swelled or have a problem with it. And so it was, after discussion, it was just removed from the bill so that there wouldn't be that liability exclusion.
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, just wanted to clarify. We're more concerned with paralytic shellfish poisoning, of course, than spoilage. But we felt that was the exposure and certainly didn't want to offer release from liability.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I have a question on page 2, line 28 through 30. The commissioner may not issue a permit under this section unless the commissioner determines that the action will result in substantial public benefit and would not jeopardize natural stocks. How is that different than just benefiting? What hurdle has to be met for a nonprofit to start a shellfish enhancement based on substantial public benefit?
Madam Chair, you know, I think we would make that determination.
Mr. Bauer, thank you.
For the record, Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. I think we would make that determination in part from input that we receive from the public. You know, there's a public hearing process as part of the permitting. So we would, you know, we'd listen to input that we receive from the public on that and how this project might benefit various user groups. I think we would also, look at the research that's been done to date on that particular project and the background and consult with, you know, experts within the department as well as outside the department and try to determine, you know, to the best of our ability, whether or not we think this would be successful and whether, it would. One metric you might use is if you had a fishery that's closed, do we think this would reopen the fishery, allow the fishery to be reopened? I think that would be one good metric we would use, Madam Chair.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In Section 2, you have the $1,000 permit, and then the commissioner may waive the submission of an application for a permit to open a hatchery or operate a hatchery. What's the point behind that?
Through the chair, Senator Kelly, it's existing language in the salmon hatchery statutes. I would have to go back and see what instances where that might be waived. I really don't have an answer for you tonight. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, you're correct. That part is existing language. You know, it's not a make or break, but I would kind of like to know what the thinking was behind that originally, what that accomplishes. How about that? Whatever that accomplishes.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, and building on that, have there been waivers done in the past, and if so, for what reason? That would be nice to know how many and for what reason.
Mr. Bowers, did you have an answer to that, or Mr. Brooks, we'll just write it down and we'll see if we can get back to the committee. If I could go to the Department of Law, Seth Bosang. Seth, are you there?
Madam Chairman, this is Seth Bosang with the Department of Law.
Welcome to Senate Finance. I have the same question. I am concerned with the answer that I just received on lines 28 through 30 that substantial public benefit is going to be determined based on opposition by the public. It's been my experience that folks tend to come out in opposition to anything that's happening in a waterway. For a variety of reasons, some, most, very justified, but to just use substantial as a definition, could you give me any assurance that the use of substantial is appropriately used on line 29?
Madam Chairman, the best answer I can give you is that that language is, it's vague and it leaves a lot of discretion to the commissioner in determining what is a substantial public benefit. It would really be up to the commissioner to make that determination. I hope that's helpful, Madam Chairman.
Well, it's helpful in understanding that there's latitude, but do we have anywhere in Alaska state statute that defines substantial public benefit that there could be any parameters on what substantial means?
Madam Chairman, certainly in this bill, that's not defined, and I have not researched to know whether elsewhere in Alaska law it's defined.
Mr. Bosang, if you could do an initial search with colleagues to look at how we protect other resources important to Alaska and then use a substantial public benefit, if you could provide me any parameters around that, so that the general public has guidelines that they understand of what they would be testifying to, instead of basically independent and possibly subjective criteria that a commissioner might use to say what substantial benefit looked like? Can you do that for me?
I'd be happy to do that, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Bauer, did you have a comment on Bowers, did you have a comment on that? Anything else in the bill, Senator Dunleavy?
Just, I was just going to add, it does appear to be very subjective. And I'm just wondering, again, as you mentioned, Madam Chair, surely there has to be a set of criteria for people to be able to look at to find out why they may have been denied, why they were issued a permit, to be able to just say, I don't think you qualify. I don't know if that's in the public's interest. I think you want to know before you start going down that road what it takes to qualify and what it takes not to qualify.
Mr. Brooks.
Kevin Brooks, Deputy Commissioner. Madam, Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, we'll certainly go back and talk with the – we have an aquaculture permitting program. We'll talk to them about the criteria used and get back with some information, bring some information back to the committee.
We do have Sam – is it Raybung?
Sam Raybung.
Raybung? Raybung?
And Mr. Raybung is unfortunately not
not here today.
He's unable to attend.
Okay. Are there further questions of the bill? Senator Machicki.
In resources, we have the benefit of kind of hearing what this bill's about, and we haven't really gotten there on this. I think it might help with the understanding. So we're talking about mollusk and crustaceans only, right? Can you talk about the purpose of the bill? Briefly, Madam Chair.
Through the Chair, Senator Machicki, Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. So the purpose of this bill is to take a look at, crab or shellfish stocks that are depressed or very depleted, and in areas where fisheries have been closed for a number of years and where current management measures really haven't helped rebuild the stocks, where we've had long-standing fishery closures and those haven't led to any sort of recovery. And so this would be a new method, a new tool to try to rebuild those stocks. The area we've heard from people in Kodiak, in Sandpoint, in the Pribilofs in Southeast Alaska that are interested in enhancing or rehabilitating shellfish stocks. Abalone in Southeast Alaska, king crab in the Pribilofs, king crab in Kodiak, king crab on the South Alaska Peninsula. Those are some of the stocks that we've heard about. And so there's research going on in the private sector and the university arena right now. There's a group called the ACRAB. It's Alaska King Crab Research, Rehabilitation, and Biology. And they have partners. It's a partnership between University of Alaska, some of the CDQ groups, NOAA Fisheries. They've been doing work on raising king crab in a hatchery setting and releasing those crab into the wild. They've done a couple of releases around Kodiak, so they're seeing favorable results, and those are some of the folks that might be among the first to apply for a permit if this bill becomes law. In Southeast Alaska, we've had concerns over abalone and other shellfish stocks. So those are some of the some examples of what this bill is about, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With the support of the committee, I'd like to move into public testimony so that we can catch those that are waiting online. Thank you, gentlemen, for presenting the bill. With that, I'd like to open the public hearing on the CS for Senate Bill number 172, Resources, Version N. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill number 172? Anyone at all? Moving offline to the Wrangell LIO, Julie Decker. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
We can, if you'd identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then please proceed with 3 minutes of public testimony.
Thank you. My name is Julie Decker. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, or AFDF. AFDF's membership is comprised of seafood harvesters, seafood processors, and support sector businesses. Since 1978, AFDF's mission has been to identify problems and opportunities that are common across Alaska's seafood industry and to help develop solutions utilizing research and development which balance economic benefits with sustainability principles. One of AFDF's recent projects is to spearhead the Alaska Mariculture Initiative, which is meant to expedite the development of mariculture in Alaska with the vision to grow a $1 billion industry in 30 years. Governor Walker's recent administrative order number 280 established the Alaska Mariculture Task Force, and that's also part of this larger effort to develop mariculture. The purpose of the task force is to provide recommendations for a comprehensive plan to develop a viable and sustainable mariculture industry for shellfish and aquatic plants. This bill, SB 172, plays an important role in the development of mariculture in Alaska. It creates a regulatory framework with which Fish and Game can manage shellfish fishery enhancement, restoration, and hatcheries in a similar fashion as the current management of the salmon fishery enhancement and hatcheries. This would allow interested stakeholders, such as some of those that were mentioned by the Fish and Game representatives in the audience, it would allow these interested stakeholders to either continue or begin enhancement and or restoration efforts of species such as king crab, sea cucumbers, gooey duck, abalone, or razor clams, to name a few. I would also like to briefly address concerns of negative impacts to wild shellfish from hatchery shellfish. My organization, AFDF, is a client for the Alaska Responsible Fisheries Management Certification Program, or RFM. AFDF has a unique position as a client and a unique viewpoint on this issue. On one hand, AFDF hears concerns from industry that Fish and Game's fishery enhancement policies are too restrictive, they increase costs and slow progress. On the other hand, AFDF is also in the position of facilitating a review of Fish and Game's fishery enhancement policies by independent third-party experts to determine whether they follow internationally accepted standards for sustainably managed fisheries. Through all this, the Alaska salmon fishery maintains RFM certification because of Fish and Game's strong policies, which are designed around a precautionary approach that prioritizes wild fish and minimizes adverse impacts to wild stocks. So we feel very confident that Fish and Game will follow a similar pattern with this bill and with shellfish enhancement and restoration. So finally, this version, this community substitute, is much preferred over the past, and we do support this bill and appreciate the ability to testify. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 172? Anyone at all? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed for Senate Bill number 172, Resources/N. Public hearing is closed. Gentlemen, you're in receipt of two additional fiscal notes. We aren't going to go over those fiscal notes right now. We will set this bill aside. Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, I apologize. I do have one question on, I may have missed this, but are there any species that are not native to Alaska that would be allowed to be farmed?
If I could ask Mr. Brooks to come back to the microphone, or Mr. Bauer.
If I missed it, I apologize.
Mr. Bowers, if you could identify yourself for the record, and if does Senator Dunleavy need to restate the question?
For the record, Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you could restate.
Are there any? Yes, through the chair. I'm sorry. Are there any species that would be allowed to be farmed that are not native to Alaskan waters?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy. So this bill relates only to enhancement of wild stocks that are native to Alaska. This doesn't relate to fish farming or the existing aquaculture program.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions from committee members? Gentlemen, tomorrow is Thursday, right? Thursday, April 7th. I'm just going to wait and see what's noticed. So I see what's on our agenda. I'm not sure we're ready for what is on the Thursday agenda in front of us. So please check BASIS and the Senate Secretaries. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. if you don't hear from the Senate Secretary or my staff in between. With that, we're adjourned.